Please open your Bibles to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. This is the time in our service where we take the Lord's Supper together. It's a time where we can remember Jesus and his death to redeem sinners. Psalm 19 can be divided up into three sections: God's general revelation in verses 1 through 6, God's special revelation in verses 7 through 11, and the response to this revelation in verses 12 through 14. I'm going to read some verses from the first two sections right now. Starting in verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." Then verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." First, observe with me the various words for communication that are used in verses 1 through 6. Declare, proclaim, pour out speech, reveal. And who is it that's talking so much? Verse 1 tells us the heavens and the sky. And what is it that they are communicating? The glory of God. This is the communication, the word of general revelation, and it is happening right now, all around us. Verse 3 tells us that this communication, this word, is understood in every dialect, every tribe, every tongue, every people, and every nation. Everyone hears this message that God is glorious. Verse 4 says that this word has gone to the whole world. There is no geographic location too far for hearing this general revelation. Language is no barrier for this word. Distance is no barrier for this word. There is no place where this word is not heard. It is loud. It speaks to every person. There is nowhere where you can go to escape it. And it all is declaring one thing, that there is a God and he is glorious. And this communication will not stop until the heavens stop. Now look at me with me at verses 7 through 11, where we meet God's special revelation. Observe the terms used to describe God's special revelation, his word: perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. This is something perfect. It lacks nothing. It's sure. We can rely on it. It's true and right. It never lies. It's pure because there is no deficiencies in it. See in verse 7 the effect God's word has on people. It revives the soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart and enlightens the eyes. This word doesn't just affect a man's mind. It affects his soul, reviving it. It affects his heart, rejoicing it, and his eyes, enlightening them. While the creation speaks and reaches every part of the earth, God's word speaks and reaches every part of ourself, our eyes, our heart, our soul, our mind. Is there any other communication like this? Are there any other laws that are more perfect? Is there any other testimony that is more sure? This word is perfect, right, and pure because it came from the one and only perfect, righteous God. We look at what God has communicated to us, and how do we respond to this? How did the psalmist respond? Look at verse 12. "Who can discern his errors?" God is perfect. His law is perfect. But the psalmist realizes that he has errors. This recognition turns to a plea for help. Verse 12 says, "Declare me innocent from hidden faults." Then 13, "Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me." Verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Do you see the need here for innocence, for blamelessness and acceptance before a holy God? The psalmist has gone from looking at all of creation and seeing God as glorious, to looking at God's word and seeing that it is pure, to looking at his own heart and seeing that it is filled with error. Where do you go from here? In the face of God's revelation, there is a recognition of error and a cry for help, but where are you going to stand? Look at the last line in the psalm. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The psalmist needed a rock. He needed a redeemer, and he found it in Yahweh. Now this is where we all are. We sit in this room. We look at the heavens. We see that God is glorious. But we are not glorious. In fact, we have all sinned and fallen short of that glory. And when we put our lives next to this perfect, pure, right word of God, it reveals that we are imperfect, impure, unrighteous. We have errors. And we, like the psalmist, need to be declared innocent from our hidden faults. We need to be accepted in order to stand before this holy God. We need a rock that will never change. We need a redeemer. So we ask, who is your redeemer? There is only one. Romans 3:23-24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Christian, take this time now to remember your Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He gave himself up for us to save us from our sin, to endure the wrath of God that our errors deserved, so we can be declared innocent and be acceptable before God. And if you were here this morning and you look at your heart and you've never received this redemption by faith, then please just let the bread and juice pass you by. But we plead with you to see your need for a redeemer. And that God has put forth the only means of redemption in Jesus Christ. We plead with you to accept him by faith. As the men come forward, we'll take the bread and the juice on our own.